I ask you to continue to turn to Ephesians. We're doing a series on the church. We're going to deal less and less with the individual and more with the church and how God views the church and how important it is to get our acts together individually, because there is a greater purpose than us just feeling good about Jesus and going to heaven. Amen? Amen. This title is Unity, No Matter the Cost. And in this day and age, when people are church hopping, they're looking for something in the church. And all of us have heard the old story where the guy was shipwrecked on an island for over 20 years. Ed eloquently brought this back to my attention. And has a bonfire, and he finally sees a ship on the horizon. He lights the fire, and the ship comes close, and they send out the lifeboat to him, and they said, "We saw your fire. What's been going on?" He says, "Man, I've been shipwrecked on this island for a long time." And he asked him what the date was, and he said, "I've been here for 20 years." And he goes, "Yeah. What have you been doing? Keeping yourself busy?" He says, "Well, you see that building over there? That's where I go to church. That's where I go and worship God." And he goes, "Yeah, well, that's so cool. You know, you were here for 20 years, you and God and all." He goes, "What's that other building down there?" He says, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." Ba-dum-bum. No, that was not in the original. You can see how Whisper Down a Lane adds stuff, but that's not how I learned it. Anyhow, it's a unity. And what we have to understand is that God, we sang about His extravagant love. His love is so extravagant. We don't understand how much He puts a price on unity of the body of Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to start at verse 3 and read to verse 6. And it says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." We saw that that's the objective for the church, with the local church worldwide too. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all, in you all." That's my Southern. Actually, it's in all. Okay? We know that doctrine is what builds our belief system. It lays our foundation as to what we're to believe properly. We also know that our belief system is lived out, and we show forth what we believe by how we live. And change is really difficult for a lot of people. A lot of people say, yeah, but they never change. They always take the easier path instead of just dying to what it is and allowing God to do what He wants to do. But Paul is very clear about the objective of the church, and that is maintaining unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace, whatever the cost is. That's why we have Matthew 18. A lot of times we look at Matthew 18 as a church discipline scripture, and it is, but it's also emphasizing the importance of the individual who is in error or has committed error, and how the process is to go through so that unity can be maintained. And we know that in the early years of Streams, we suffered a church split. I guess we were only a few months old, and there was a misunderstanding through myself and another one of the elders of the church. They didn't understand where I was standing on a doctrinal issue. And because of that doctrinal issue, they chose to pick up and leave. And really what we must understand is doctrine is doctrine. It's personal. It's not something that we infuse upon somebody else. It's brought by revelation of God. Now, if you don't know what the doctrine is, it's great for us to sit down and talk about it, but it should never separate us. That's why you have churches of different faiths, because they have separated themselves. They have divided themselves, either Presbyterians and Methodists and all, and I can elaborate on how these truths have separated us and have not brought us together. And today, in this age, we find that churches are now leaving the denominational name tag, and they're being called by something else, so that we can bear in the unity. And years ago, Dan and I was part of intercessory prayer men's prayer group, and we prayed that the Lord would bring down the dividing walls. You know that song, Dividing Walls, Break Dividing Walls? We were praying that in that reality, and here we are, we're downstream 20 years, and God is doing that now. God is breaking those things down so that we can understand how important this unity is, no matter what the cost is. And I tell the leaders, you know, what we want to do is love no matter what the cost, even to our own harm. We are commanded to love. Love God's people, love the people in the world because they walk around in their ignorance. But the church needs to show forth this oneness that is imperative that they see a reality. And when they see us talking about other believers, moving from church to church, there is a problem. Francis Schaeffer once said, "We cannot expect the world to believe the Father sent the Son, that Jesus' claims are true, and that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality to the oneness of true Christianity. And that's why the fellowshipping of the saints, this fellowship was established on John 13:35. Who could quote that for me? Right, they will know that you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. And that love, that agape love, is inferring, maintaining this unity, no matter what the cost is. And this is what we really want to behooves, you know, in this day and age where people are writing everybody off. They don't see the responsibility of maintaining a unity. Families are broken because they have different things that are going on, different faiths, different ideology, different ways of doing things. And so families become fractured. But God has a thing in which He uses our diversity to bring unity in a way that harmonizes the church. You can have an orchestra of 500 instrumentalists from various skills and all, and if they're united in their presentation of music, the orchestra sounds wonderful. But just think about if you have 500 musicians in that orchestra playing whatever they feel like. What do you think that would sound like? Right. And I've been part of that. I've been part of a musical team where I didn't know what I was doing. I was playing an instrument, but I didn't have any sheet music. I didn't have anything like that. And so it was really bad. And God is trying to get us to understand that those differences that we want to hold on to, well, you can hold on to them, but it's not going to bring us into that unity unless we get with His program and understand what this is all about. Amen? It says, the scripture says, to endeavor, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavor is spadazastes. It means no sense of possibility of failure. It's a Greek word, big word. I hate saying the Greek, but it is what it is. It's conveying the idea of working towards something difficult with the determination of making it happen. Nothing is too difficult for me because I could do all things through Christ Jesus, right? We have to understand that we have to have a determination. We are not going to let somebody go just because they walk out the door. Because God loves them. God died for them. He wants them to be a part of His life, part of His body. They have gifts and talents that He wants to utilize. And when people don't want to conform, they have to answer to God. And I tell our people that have some of these things going on in their lives with their family members and all, love them. Just love them. They won't understand the love, but the greater purpose is as we love them, they will begin to be changed in heart so that God can receive all the glory. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change them, not ours. Amen? So we have to endeavor. It's being diligent. It's working towards that end. No matter how difficult it is, we know that we're not going to fail because Jesus can't fail. There's no failure in Jesus. It's hard work to maintain the unity because people are so diverse in their background, life experiences, understanding, culture, education, and finally, spiritual maturity. The devil is constantly getting us focused on what is different about each other to divide and conquer us. We could go with the ladies. Oh, did you see her hair? Do you see the clothes she wears? Do you see the makeup she's wearing or no makeup? Did you see the vehicles, you know, that they're driving? Guys with type of work, you know, how much money they make. Those are things that God has called for those individuals to work for the kingdom. Okay? And today we're going to talk about seven things that actually brings us together in unity. God wants us to be focused on these things so that we can understand that our diversity is not a handicap. It is not a handicap. What it is, it is a better means of which to build the Church of Jesus Christ. Not all of us have the same gifts and talents. Not all of us have the same abilities. Not all of us can do the same thing, and that's by God's design. He wants to use your gifts and your talents that He gave you for His glory. Well, you may say, well, you know, I don't know what my gifts and talents are. Well, we have a small form in which we can find out what your gifts and talents are. We can find out what your disposition is as far as the personality type. We have those tests in which we can minister to and give you a greater understanding, because those tests are only as good as to where you are today. I've taken some of these personality profiles, and 5-6 years later, they changed. Well, they didn't change. What changed was me, my understanding, my life experiences. All these things I have changed, and so I respond differently to the test that we have. Now, what are some of these unifying factors that God has listed for us? He gives us seven factors, and seven is the number of what? I can't hear you, Miss Holly. Fullness, completion, yes. And so He doesn't give us something more than what we're able to handle. He gives us the fullness of what we can handle. Okay? And the first thing that we see in here, in understanding our diversity to walk in the Spirit, is we have one body. What do you think that talks about? Well, I'm glad you guys are all awake this morning. One body is referring to the oneness in the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not divided up, you know. There's different aspects. You may have 4 or 5 different churches in Williamstown. There's actually more than that. I think there's like 27 churches in the Williamstown vicinity. Every church isn't called to do the same thing. And we should not call Streams of Life the church. We shouldn't call the Methodist church the church, the Catholic church the church. These are all parts of the Church of Williamstown, or the local body of Jesus Christ. Okay? We shouldn't be talking about what they're doing or not doing. And I have impressed upon our leaders that, you know what, when people start talking about what the Catholics are doing or what this group's doing or that group's doing, what we're doing is we're being filled up with pride by trying to tear them down. And they're our brothers and sisters. What we should be doing is tearing down everything that tries to exalt itself above the name of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be involved with activities that separate us from coming together. We shouldn't be involved with groups that would keep us from being involved in our worship of God. But yet, what has happened is we rationalize trying to justify why we do certain things to make it palatable to us when God is saying, you know, we have one body. There are many religions and cults in the world that men can be involved in. All of them have one thing in common: that man is trying to work out his salvation by his own efforts. And the spectrum is wide. You can have it from the cults of Jehovah's Witnesses, who have a belief system that is contrary to the Scriptures. You can have the Mormons, which they're trying to say they're Christian, but they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And when they think that they're God and that they're going to own a planet when they're all dead and gone, There's a problem in their theology. And we will begin this summer to start showing films to equip each other how to converse with these people and give them the light of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen overnight, but you know what? We are to tear down the darkness. We are to drive it back from where it is. We are not to sit on our laurels and keep a silent witness. That is not what Christ came here for. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be the one making others uncomfortable. So there's only one body. Romans 12:4 says, just as each one of us has one body and many members, these members do not all have the same function. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13 says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through it all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And that leads us into the next one. There is only one Spirit. In these world religions that are going on where they have all kind of worship, I mean, Eastern mysticism and the Eastern religions centrally worship, have ancestral worship. They worship their ancestors that have gone on to wherever they're at. They don't understand that in doing that, they're worshiping the dead. They open themselves up to many spirits, all of which are demonic in nature and in origin. And because of this worship, when the spirits take over their bodies, they end up fulfilling some debased desires, and we see that in voodooism. If you've never been a witness to voodooism, it's extraordinary in how a demon possesses them. If you have never been involved in casting out demons, this is how these things enter in. Witchcraft is a religion. You know, Wicca is a religion. And they invite these demonic spirits into it. This is why there's only one Spirit. The Spirit of the living God. Who lives in us. Presently active today. He's here with us. He dwells in us. And he's actively involved in our lives. We don't believe in worshiping Mother Earth as the New Agers do. We don't worship God because he's going to save everybody at the end and that no one's going to go to hell. That's what the Universalists believe. You know, they're all demonic in nature. And the only way we're going to know what the truth is by what God says. Amen? We have to understand that there's many other things that we have in this world, but we have to be focused on the commonality of those things. One body, one Spirit. We have one hope. The hope of this is the manifestation of our salvation. What is the manifestation of our salvation? Eternal life in Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, we saw in Ephesians 1, Jesus died and saved the world. As people became enlightened to the truth, they received their salvation. And so here we are. We talk about what he did 2,000 years ago for us. That was the beginning of salvation. Today, we're becoming enlightened to the Word of God. We are being saved by the renewing of our minds because we are changing. Our lives are changing, becoming more spiritual because we are supernatural beings trying to manifest the heart of the Father and the kingdom of God. And the only hope that we have, the only hope that the world has, is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And when he comes, the ultimate manifestation of that is we will be like him. We will have a new body that will not be see corruption. We'll have our spirit that has been regenerated will now be put into that new body. And we're going to live forever. You know, you don't have to fight with this nonsense with the Hindus and with reincarnation and stuff. I don't know about you. I don't want to come back as a bug. I don't want to be walking around like a cow. You know, I've seen their cows. Their cows are emaciated. But it's their belief systems that create this stuff. It is all demonically inspired, and it is not based on the truth of God. And we have to understand that it doesn't have... It may have a sense of morality, but it is diffused to the Spirit of God. And there's no real hope in that. We have one Lord, And this is referring to Jesus Christ, who we are owned by Him. Let me try. We're owned by Him. When we receive salvation by faith, we said yes, Lord, to salvation and His Lordship over our lives. And many of us have tried to run around, do our own thing after we said yes to Jesus, only to find that there was difficulty upon difficulty upon difficulty, that God was trying to stop us from moving further off the cliff than where we were. He was upholding us because we had stepped off the cliff. And He so mercifully brings us back. There are no other gods except Jesus Christ. He's the only true and living God. And when people start talking about Jesus, the question you need to ask people is, what's your Jesus? Who is your Jesus? Because just because they say Jesus, He may not be the Jesus that we are saved by and have come to know and love. So you have to be very careful, especially like with the Mormons. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're not telling you. Be very discerning in your conversation. Do not be intimidated by them and by their approach. If anything, and Ed had the opportunity to make some of the Jehovah's Witnesses squirm, it is so much fun to watch them squirm in them dealing with half-truths or trying to justify stuff that are not even in the Scriptures. And it is so funny. I mean, my house is marked. It's kind of like the dog going and marking a tree. My house is marked. They won't come here. And I invite them. I invite them. Come on over. Let's talk. Sorry. We ain't got time. You know, that kind of stuff. It is so... You can have fun with this. You can see how, you know... Well, really, I mean, you can just see how blind they are to the truth. And you know what? I had a couple of Mormons going out here yelling at me from the end of the street. They were just beside themselves. And I'd just say, well, what do you do with this? What do you do with this? What do you do with this? I'm asking questions. And they're, you know, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. It's funny. But you're the ones that have the truth. You have the living God dwelling in you. You should not be afraid to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Because they need Him too. As we all did. We have one faith, and that faith is only in Jesus Christ. It is putting our trust completely in Him. You know, these people put their trust in many other things to fulfill the things that they're desirous of. We put our faith in Him because He desires us for who we are, not what we can provide for Him. He provides everything for us. In this one faith, we're to teach, we're commanded to teach and guard and commit to this faith to the next generation if He should tarry. It's called our doctrine. What do we believe? What has God shown us? And that's why we have foundations. That's why we have roots of character. That's why we have kingdom finances. It's why we do the things we do, because we want you to be able to defend your faith. When you go to college and back, you can, correct me if I'm wrong, they tried to slaughter your faith. Even in a Christian college. You have to be very discerning and very careful in it. You have one baptism. This is the commonality. All of us have gone through the baptism of the waters. What does baptism do? Who has an answer? No, I thought that's what the Spirit did. What baptism does, it enables us to be infused into the body by making a public statement of our commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what it does. Right. What you are before, Miss Kim was right and Miss Holly's right, the person that you are is now buried in the waters of baptism. And when you rise out, you are the new creation. You are filled with the Spirit. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. All of us who want more of God go through this, because that's part of our solidification of unity. We have one God who's Father over all, and He alone is the one who is worthy of our praise and worship. If you can't praise God, you have a problem. Because you should be praising Him at least for your salvation. You should be praising Him for being active in your life. You should be praising Him for what He does for you, what He keeps from you, so that you don't have the problems that the other people have. You should be praising Him because He loves you so much that He has given you precious promises that are yours now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. He is the supreme, sovereign, and transcendent ruler of everything seen and invisible. And because we are part of His body, we have that power and authority that He has. He chooses to use His power and authority through the church for the benefit of the church. Did you know that? That's why we encourage you to be filled with the Spirit, so that the power of God can be in you, so that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can drive the darkness out in Jesus' name. He alone is worthy. No one else is worthy of our praise. And it's He who chooses to use our relationship with Him for His purposes. Now, why should we maintain the unity? Why should we endeavor to maintain unity? Why should we sit in church and listen to a preacher who's teaching you a dry message and like, man, will you ever shut up? I've heard this all before. I know this. Well, it's not a matter of knowing. It's a matter of doing the things that God has called us to do. It's not how spiritually minded I am, but how spiritually moving I am. Turn to Ephesians 3:10. I'll give you the purpose, and then put your finger there and go to Revelation 11 and put your finger there. We'll try. Ephesians 3:10 says, His intent was that now, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. What was His intent? His intent was to reveal His wisdom. What was the revelation of His wisdom? He was going to show the demons that He was going to have a people that would worship Him for who He is, not what He could provide. You see, Satan encapsulates us and imprisons us by providing things that are no good for us. God only gives us good things. And He wants to reveal this by how we worship God. How we worship God every day. How we move and live and have our being in Him. He wants to show Satan and the rest of the world that He will have a people that worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's the plan? Revelation 11 verses 15 through 18 says, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven, which said, 'The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who were seated at the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped Him, saying, 'We give thanks to You, Lord God Almighty, the One who is and was, because you have taken Your great power and have begun to reign. The nations are angry, and Your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and the rewarding of Your servants, the prophets, and Your saints, and those who reverence Your name, both small and great, for destroying those who destroyed the earth.'" And Jesus told us in Matthew 16, verse 18, He says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In light of these seven factors, and in light of understanding God's plan and purpose, it is imperative that the church becomes proactive in these days. It doesn't mean that we sit home and it's my four and no more. When we're out there on the soccer field, are we building relationships so that we can endeavor to bring those people who do not know Jesus Christ into the fold? Are we endeavoring to take the free time that we have and get involved in social issues? Just because we're not involved doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility. Getting involved in social issues like feeding the poor, clothing the poor, taking care of the needs of our fellow men within our church, involvement in government, involvement in business. These are the kingdoms that God is telling His church to rule and reign, because they're all going to find harmony in Jesus Christ. Look at our government. Look at our businesses. Look what's happening. Without Jesus Christ, this world is in collapse. And it is collapsing around the church. And we need to get a better vision and see that we're going to push away the old ways and start raising up the things that God has called for us to do. My job is to teach you, to encourage you, to exhort you to be that person that Jesus Christ has created you to be. Why? For kingdom dominion. You are warriors, men. And it is your responsibility to fight for your families, fight for your wives, fight for your children, fight for this nation, fight for this planet. Well, I don't know how to do that, Pastor. You know, I've got all these problems that's going on. You have these problems because you're passive. You're sitting still hoping that somebody else will do it. Well, guess what? You're going to give an account like I'm going to give an account. And you know what? When you stand up there and say, well, Pastor never told me. Did you read my word? What did you do with my word? Jesus is going to say. He's not going to say, you know, Kim, why weren't you out there fighting? Well, Ken didn't feel like going to do this, so I just didn't. She wasn't made to fight. Guys, we were made to fight. Why are there so many passive men? Why don't men get involved in the church? Because they think it's just for women. They haven't heard the truth. And Satan is blinding their minds to the truth. This world is in confusion. Men don't know how to be men, and women don't know how to be women. They want to be men. And that was told in the garden. God told them. You know, the women want to rule over you guys. And guess what? I just want to sit on the couch and play my video games. I just want to sit on the couch and watch a ball game. And guess what? The women are ruling. Our families are in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. Our government is in trouble. Our financial institutions are in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. Why? Because of unity. Because they are not united with Christ as the head, and we're as the body. There is a pandemic, a spiritual pandemic that is in the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States, filled with mishy-mashy and feel-good messages. And you won't find them here. What you'll find here is challenging. I challenge you. Stop being little boys and little girls and start becoming men and women of the Most High God. Ladies tend to be moving in that direction. But guys, if you are not concerned about your spiritual growth, you're not concerned about your wife's spiritual growth, you're not concerned about the spiritual growth of your church, and I could just go on and on and on. I just want to remind you that you will give an account. You will give an account before God. And I will give an account also for what I've taught you. In this day and age, we need to begin to start getting rid of the shackles that bind us. Stop becoming lazy or staying lazy, looking for someone else to do it. When God has stirred your heart, and you know He stirred your heart, and you would rather walk in disobedience. There are things that God has told you guys to do, and you don't understand that your disobedience is hindering the work of God through this church. As great or as small as that disobedience, it still hinders. And I'm not saying that Streams is suffering from it. What I am saying is that the fullness of God who wants to come upon the land to rule and reign in splendor and majesty has to first get his house in order. Judgment begins in the house of God. There's a greater plan for your life, and it's not going to happen until you participate and become proactive in that which God has called into your life. Whether it's in higher education and helping people, whether it's just being the best mom and dad that you could possibly be, that's fine. But you know what? All of us, the church, has been mandated by heaven to share the Great Commission. And that is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That is not to Bible thump them. That is not to guilt them. That is not to do anything but to love people, build a relationship, and share Jesus with people, and inviting them to become part of His family. That's what happened to us. Someone spoke to us. We heard about it. They continued to relate to us. They spoke to us a little bit more. Eventually, the Holy Spirit started convicting us. We began to ask questions. And the next thing you know, we committed our lives to Jesus Christ. All I'm saying in this is we have to fight for unity. Christianity is going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. It is not a club to join. It is a way of life. And for those who don't understand that, you need to understand. You need to understand that there's more at stake than just my four and no more. There's a world that's dying out there that Jesus died for. And He has commissioned each and every one of us to go. The choice is yours. Next week we're going to talk about fivefold ministry and how that works. That should be exciting. It is. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your word, God. God, my zeal for You, God, is and for Your kingdom. I pray that people hear my heart, God, through the words of how desirous I am is to see Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, You have called us to be peacemakers. You have called us by name. You have directed us. And we have been unwilling to be stirred in spirit, God. For those who have been stirred, God, I pray that they just take it before You, God, and become more aggressive in their pursuit of You. For those who are trying to walk as fast as they possibly can, God, I ask that You help them, God. For those of us that are desirous of more of You and to see Your kingdom, God, help us. Help those who are struggling to come along. Help us to love them no matter what, God, no matter the cost. God, You prayed in John 14, God, that we would be one with You as Jesus is one with You. You were talking about unity and spirit. May our spirits be unified together to fulfill the plan and the purposes, God, of why You had to come and die on a cross, shed Your blood, be buried, and rise again from the dead for a people that are rebellious and stiff-necked, that didn't want You and still don't because they live their lives for themselves. Father, help us. We cry out in streams and we pray for Your whole body around the world. Those brothers and sisters who are suffering in prison, suffering persecution, suffering unto death, God. Forgive us, God, of our insensitivity to their needs. Help us, God, to begin to funnel the resources, the time, and even our strength through prayer and through direct participation to be involved to establish Your kingdom on earth as in heaven, no matter the cost. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.